While the regions fulfilled their nameless quotas, Stalin was also killing thousands whom he knew well. Yezhov visited Stalin virtually every day. Within a year and a half, 5 of the 15 Politburo members, 98 of the 139 Central Committee members, and 1,108 of the 1,966 delegates from the 17th Congress had been arrested. Stalin declared that the son should not suffer for the sins of the father, but then carefully targeted the families of enemies. On the 5th of July 1937, the Politburo ordered the NKVD to confine all wives of condemned traitors in camps for 5 to 8 years, and to take under state protection children under 15. 18,000 wives and 25,000 children were taken away. But this was not enough. Yezhov decreed that children between 1 and 3 were to be confined in orphanages, but socially dangerous children between 3 and 15 could be imprisoned, depending on the degree of danger. Almost 1 million of these children were raised in orphanages. All the leaders knew that they themselves were constantly being tested. Both Molotov secretaries were arrested. "I sensed danger gathering around me," he recalled. "My first assistant threw himself down a lift shaft." No one was safe. If they had hoped that their rank would protect them, the arrests of Politburo members had corrected that impression. Testimonies were prepared against all, including Molotov, Voroshilov, and Kaganovich. Their chauffeurs were arrested so frequently that Khrushchev grumbled to Stalin, who said, "They're gathering evidence against me, too." All of them must have thought like Khrushchev, who asked, "Do you think I'm confident that tomorrow won't transfer me from this office to a prison cell?" The case of Marshal Budyonny surely concentrated their minds. On the 20th of June 1937, soon after the execution of Tukhachevsky, Stalin told the cavalryman, "Yezhov says your wife's conducting herself dishonorably." "A bad wife is family, not political business, Comrade Stalin," replied Budyonny. "I'll look into it myself." "You must be brave," said Stalin. "Do you think I don't feel sorry when my closest circle turns out to be enemies of the people?" Budyonny's wife, Olga, was a Bolshoi singer, who was cuckolding Budyonny with a tenor and flirting with Polish diplomats. Budyonny went to Yezhov, who told him that his wife, along with Yegorova, visits foreign embassies. Olga was arrested in the street, interrogated and sentenced to 8 years and then another 3. Budyonny sobbed, the tears pouring down his cheeks. Olga went mad in solitary confinement. There used to be a legend that Stalin was more merciful to women. Certainly female CC members were more likely to survive, but Galina Yegorova was shot even before her martial husband. No chivalry there. A flirtation with Stalin on the night of Nadia's suicide cannot have helped her case, but he was always more pitiless if there was a hint of sexual debauchery. The terror was, among many more important things, the triumph of prissy Bolshevik morality over the sexual freedom of the 20s. Stalin was an awkward man of the 19th century, flirtatious with and appreciative of the well-dressed women of his circle, strictly prudish about his own daughter, shocked at the feminism and free love of the early 20s, yet crudely macho among his male friends. His prudishness was thoroughly Victorian. The appearance of Svetlana's knees, even her bold stare in a photograph, provoked absurd crises. Stalin disapproved of the first kiss in the film Volga Volga, which was too passionate, with the result that not only was the kiss cut, but all kissing was almost banned from all Soviet films by overzealous officials. In old age, seeing a Georgian cigarette packet illustrated with a racy girl, Stalin furiously ordered the entire brand to be redesigned. "Where would she learn to sit like that? Paris?"